Hey guys, Footy Focus Podcast, episode 2, recording on Tuesday, 29 March, joined by my co-host, always, Chez. How are you going?
Good, Chanukah. How are you?
I think you're going to have you look a bit better than me, because your team has got the first win on the board and my team is zipping too, so I'm sure you're going to enjoy the review tonight.
Yeah, who would have thought? We're got the win, but you guys, disappointing loss. We'll get onto that soon. But it wasn't a massive week. I guess it was sort of. Biggest news is probably Lance Franklin joining five other greats in kicking 1,000 goals.
Yeah, so sixth player. I think he's kicked 700 points too. And so the scoring shots, he's probably had the most scoring shots of all time. But did you end up seeing that 1,000 goal live?
Yeah, I did. I had it on, and it was exciting. Chad Warner, I think, was the guy who set it up pretty beautifully. Set shot, pretty easy goal in the end. And I think the crowd were already past the boundary line before he'd even sort of kicked the ball. So and I'm glad he got it, otherwise it would have been interesting.
Yeah, I think every set shot, I think he was four straight. I think he flushed everything, so it didn't even look like missing off the boot. And unbelievable moment. And maybe the last one we see that kicks the 1,000. Not many players can even 100 goals in a set.
Yeah, last time I think Favola was maybe the last, at the Dome many, many years ago. But do you like that tradition where the fans run on?
Yeah, I think they probably could have done security a bit better and surrounded Buddy and the players, even the Geelong players as well. But outside of that, I think it's great. No one got injured. I think we haven't heard of anything. So, I think the security just got to be better next time.
Not much you can do. Yeah, it's like a stampede. It is a little bit worrying for anyone if they happen to trip and get trampled. You don't want to see anything bad happen. Yeah. Sounded like everything was okay. Bit odd, someone scattered the ashes of their nan. I think that's going a bit too far.
Yeah, I think that a few supporters ran into Geelong players on purpose. I think Jeremy Cameron copped a hit, so that's not great to see. But I think overall, great moment for footy, and probably the last one we see. Moving on to, I know we're going to touch on it in your match, but I think I did tip the Roos before this, but then obviously when the team sheets came out, there was 13 players out, and then a player went down in the warm-up for the Eagles. So how did you feel? Do you think that game should have been played or postponed? Or
this is an interesting one, because it was it wasn't like a marquee game, and it was West Coast, like a interstate club. So people were saying, is there bias towards Melbourne is. If it was a Melbourne or a Geelong or one of the big clubs like Essendon, whatever, would they have postponed? I hope not. And I think the rules and the contingency plans are set up now that AFL, they won't do that because there's so many top up players that they'll just keep testing them and putting them in the jumper and letting them play and not postpone games, even if it means being suspended. Like for this game, we went from $2.70 outsiders to $1.40 favorites. West Coast was still $4.50 to win. It is compromising in the integrity, because if West Coast had a 14, they probably would have won. It wasn't a blowout in the end, so the AFL, they won't be too disappointed.
Yeah, I think he was on the board saying that, games are going to, even if Collingwood Carlton, it would have had, even if one team was missing that many players. And it's not going to be the last time it happens, and it might cause a team to make the eight. But if it's set before the season that no games are going to get postponed, then we already know what the rules are. So I think every team has 20 COVID top-up players. So, like you said, the 50-50s are in place, and it's definitely not going to be the last match affected by COVID out this season.
It'll probably be the one that's most affected, just because the West Coast had a big injury list. The other teams don't have as much as big an injury list, so that's what makes it, it compounds it. But generally, teams have 6 or 7 players, not like 12 or 13 injured players like West Coast did. So that's the other thing. But yeah, I think they just keep going. Yep, everyone's got top ups, and now the precedent's been set. So even if it is a blockbuster game, they can't postpone it. They need to continue. Okay, with that, we might get into the game reviews. So, yeah, your boys went down, unfortunately, to an efficient Hawthorn, which was a bit weird. I saw the stats and it didn't make sense.
Yeah, so all the, contested possession, ground ball, total disposals, inside 50, link, port one, all of those. But, yeah, just you watch the game, even a 5-minute, 10-minute span, you know that, yeah, we were nowhere close to it. With effort, so that's two home performances in a row where there's been little to no effort and a complete blowout. So it really just, like, disgusting is the word I've used, because we're honouring the GOAT in our 152-year and 36-flag history, Russell Ebert. First home game since he passed away in the off-season. So, not a great way to honour him. Don't necessarily need a win. It's like any milestone game, really, for any player. You don't really necessarily need to win, but you'd like to see effort from the team. And there just wasn't that. A lot of fumble, a lot of two touches, no defensive pressure. And, I think 4 kicked, 9 goals, 1-0 in score change from defensive 50. And we gave up, saw this stat today, we gave up 6 goals from kick-ins. 4 goals directly from kick-ins, and all of last season in the home and away, we conceded 6 total. So just goes to show that it's just no pressure from the midfield and forwards.
Wait, say that again. So from your kick-ins, it got turned over?
From their kick-ins, they kicked 4 goals straight directly from there.
So transition, so defence to forward.
Transition, yeah. So the home and away season last year, so what's that, 22 games, we only conceded 6 in total. So we conceded 4 in one game, which is, unheard of, really. I don't think there might be a record potentially, but, just didn't show up. And, it was really similar to the Dogs' performance last year. Didn't get smashing ball and ground ball gets, but, the effort wasn't there again.
And your defence... pretty fragile without Aaliyah, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not an excuse, but obviously you got Skinner, who was an SPP pickup and off 3 ACLs, only became a defender last year in the Sandford. McKenzie, I think, just not up to it, I don't think, is a key back anymore. Probably lucky that he's injured at the moment. And, Jonas is always probably sort of suited as a third tall. And, Lewis, Gunson and Bruce were way too good for them. 11 goals between them, and probably the difference in the end. 4 kick, 13 goals straight from set shots too. So only a 4 scoring shot difference between the two teams, but a 64-point margin. So I don't think the Hawks are going to be that efficient going forward every week, but they're definitely the better team one anyway.
With McKenzie, always thought he was sort of like a stopgap player. He's not young, but he was playing on Hawkins and these type of guys, but he's clearly giving away height and strength. So until you find a proper sort of gorilla that can take the big key forwards, don't see him. Like, you won't win a premiership with him.
Yeah, that's what I said last year after he got once by, I think, Norton in the prelim. I don't think he's a premiership fullback. So, the pressure really needs to be up there, 200-plus in the rating from the forwards and midfields to even make him like a dependable fullback, but don't think he is anyway. And hopefully Cleary gets back soon. I think Cleary's the long-term fullback anyway. Got recontracted as well recently.
Who stood up though? Did anyone stand up?
Yeah, so similar to the prelim, I think only Riley Bonner could hold his head up high that day. It was on the San Pao Pepper. 3 third quarter goals trying to keep us in the contest. Defensive pressure was there. And just really a real bull from the clearances. So, only one out of the 22 could get a pass marker on Saturday night. And, so you look at the forward leading disposal winners on the ground, both Lions aim on and Butters, 142 possessions between them. Didn't really make use of the ball. Meaningless stats at the end of the day. And I don't think any of them would get coaches' votes or even poll on the brown line because, it was just stats at the end of the day between the four of them.
So were they over-possessing it, a lot of handballs and going nowhere?
Yeah, over-possessing handballs and just kicking to the opposition. So Cross, Sicily, Hardwick and Scrimshaw mopped up pretty much any inside 50 entry, and a lot of those are from those four players. We were normally really clean with the ball, especially game on Butters, but they torched it just too many times for us to even get close on the day. And I know Dixon, Brown, Fantasia are missing some, just no class up front without those guys. And the three tall forward setup didn't work. I think that's going to change, and we'll talk about that with the game previews for the showdown.
Yeah, and just quickly on the Hawks, the youngsters were okay?
Yeah, Josh Ward, so they haven't had many top 10 draft picks in the Clarkson era. So I think he's pick 7 and he looks an absolute jet. Probably needs to improve his efficiency, but looks really clean with the football and kicked a nice goal. And Connor McDonald too looks really promising. And Nash, I haven't seen much of him, but yeah, really elite speed, ran past probably 3-4 players at top speed kick a goal. So their future's not as bleak as I think many experts have said in the last probably 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, it's pretty annoying watching Hawthorn just have a good culture and they're not down at the bottom for too long. But you had to admire their culture as a club. But we'll move on to the Kangaroos game. And I went to this game, so I saw it live. Watched a bit of it on Care as well. Lucky to get up, I think. 74-59. A lot's been made of the Hawks team. But they still had 7 premiership players and we didn't have any.
even their top ups, I think maybe 2 or 3 of them have played AFL footy before, and I think it's Black, who's won a Sandover medal and been probably the best player in that league as well. Mm. I think, a bit of a media beat up there because they're top. Played footy before.
A little bit. Like, understand it's not their best team. And these top-ups, they don't play footy full-time, but they're still, like, mature, hardened bodies. Like, they're not playing 18-year-olds. And on top of their premiership players, they had, like, Tim Kelly and Witherton and Petrovski Skeeden. So, I mean, put it into perspective, Kangaroos are $8 favourites. Oh, not favourites, underdog, outsiders to be Brisbane this weekend. So West Coast were only $4.50. So, but considering that the teams are pretty even, like coming off a win swoon last year, and especially after losing Dej Uniac at the start of the second quarter and Thomas before the end of the second quarter, without our sort of 5 of our best 6 midfielders, probably with Cunnington, Anderson, and Phillips out. So, that's putting a lot of pressure on Greenwood and Simpkin, really, because after that, it just falls off to maybe like Tom Powell and Jason Horn Francis, who've played like 10 games between them or something. It was another scrappy game. So back-to-back pretty poor performances by North. Maybe a little bit better in terms of their discipline and not as sloppy as round one, but still a few missed handballs, few missed kicks. Just the synergy between the players isn't there. Similar to how we started last year. So if that's anything to go by, hopefully we sort of get better as the season goes on. Larky.
Standouts on the day.
Yeah, Larky, obviously, with 6 goals. Could have maybe had a couple more. But he was really good. He was playing on a first gamer for a lot of it. But he did play on McGovern a bit and kicked a couple on him. And, Hugh Greenwood's played the other one, who stood up with he had a lot of contested possessions. I did have it here. So 16 contested possessions. So he was pretty good. The game plan is still a bit hard to read for the Kangaroos. I think last year we were using the corridor a lot, but this year we're still using it here and there, but the movement's a lot slower.
What's the reason for that? Is it sort of the personnel missing, or is it just, I guess, players getting used to the game plan? Because you still have a few younger guys in the team.
Yeah, I'm not too sure, but I've been sort of hearing other people, and I reckon the back line is still sort of at the moment without Tarrant, him being gone and Mackay not playing, a little bit vulnerable. So maybe just not taking as many risks through the corridor, and because it got turned over a bit last year, and then we got scored against pretty heavily. So maybe there's a little bit of a tweak, and the players just aren't adjusting to that just yet. It doesn't help when your best midfielder Ben Cunnington's not playing, and a couple of your classy ball movers in Thomas and David Juniac, out early. It'd be good to see that a bit more in the future, to see a game plan, because without that, the talent's there, but just it's a little bit sort of concerning that we haven't sort of shown fluent ball movement. And the goal Thomas kicked, he received a kick in from Aaron Hall, I think, and just kicked it from the center square almost, and it bounced through, but can't expect that to sort of be sustainable. I mean, that can just be turned over as easily.
I'll make this a weekly question for the time being, but how did Vaughan Francis go?
Yeah, he was pretty good. I think he had 20 touches, so pretty consistent. A lot of pressure acts. I think he had the second most pressure acts for us, or on the ground or something. But he's pretty manic at the ball carrier. He got cut on the eye, above the eye as well, and got taped up. But everyone just cheers when he touches the ball. So it's pretty unreal. Being the number one pick, glad to have him. But he was, after the two midfielders went off, he was got a bit more time in the midfield and was able to use his strong body. Had a lot of handballs, so I think he's just slowly sort of finding his feet. So I think he'll be better for the run, and probably spend a bit more time in the midfield. Another first round pick from last year, Powell, he was a little bit in and out of the team. He's been the late in twice now. Not sure why he's in the fringes.
Yeah, is there a reason? Because obviously he was picked. He was a first round pick, wasn't he, the year before, and performed pretty well at sample level, wasn't it?
Yeah, sample, under 18s. But he was our best first year player last year. But he was a little bit fumbly against Hawthorn, but I thought he was a bit better this week. So he had a bit of groin in issues end of last year. So maybe he's just still getting that fitness up. But now I think him and Horn Francis will spend a lot of time in the midfield with Simpkin and Greenwood. I thought Josh Marnie, he was pretty lively as well, or Jack Marnie, I think his first name. He pretty smart player. He kicked a goal and was pretty lively. And Aiden Corp plays best game for the Kangaroos with 11 marks and looked comfortable down back. And Sherry as well, without Nick Nat, I think he had to do what he did. Got 20 touches and his fair share of hit outs, but probably wouldn't expect him to be as dominant with a genuine ruckman as an opponent in the future.
Good to see Core return to form, because that's probably what you expected of him when he recruited him from the Giants, and last year he was just injury ravaged, wasn't he? Didn't really get a good go at it, so hopefully that's a sign of things to come. But
yeah, he's a little bit injury prone, so hopefully he can stay on the park. And good to have Aiden Bonner back as well, who hopefully can find a bit of form. And just a couple of other players, I thought Turner was pretty impressive. He was swung forward when we had those injuries and Bonner played defense. And he gave us something, kicked a couple of goals, had good pressure. A bit of a whipping boy is Lockie Young. I think he did a few good things, but he also did a couple of average, pretty bad things. So but that might get ironed out with experience. So all these fringe players, with all the injuries we have at the moment, feels like deja vu. I swear we went through this last year. But, yeah, they'll get the opportunity. So, again, on looking at the bright side. And Taron Thomas is out for, like, 4 to 8 weeks. I don't know if you saw that news. He went for a smother. The technique was probably not the best. So he sort of went over the guy's leg and, yeah, got his boot in his chest. So avoided rib damage, but he got some internal bleeding or bruising. Yeah. Is your mic working? I see your mouth moving, but you can't hear.
No, I was saying, I'm just looking at the injury list now. It says, yeah, internal bruising. Sounds a bit lucky. I think if you got some more damage, you might have been out for maybe a bit longer.
Yeah, so it's never good having injuries to your young developing players, but hopefully it gives a couple of other players a chance anyway. Yeah, that sort of wraps the reviews up. All right, we'll jump onto the previews, and there's a special doubleheader showdown on Friday night.
Yeah, should really be a standalone. So it's Adelaide Port at 8:20 and Collingwood and Geelong at 7:25. But, second absolute must win for us. Definitely can't afford to go three games behind the top four. Understrength defense, which we touched on earlier, probably should have an easier day at the office. Texas still suspended another week, and Thielthorpe was surprisingly dropped last round. Himmelberg stayed in, which you'd like to think Thielthorpe plays every week as that number two draft pick and second backup ruck, but I'll have a seat at selection. I think Ryan Burton goes to Josh Rochelle. He's probably the most dangerous forward two games into his career. I think you just must dominate contested possession and in the air, whether it's a Brownlow hangover or it's just been underwhelming the past two games. Sloan's on the injury list, so hopefully he does get up, because I think he's the main midfielder for them, with Laird and Keyes, who's been just had a resurgence in his career the last couple of years.
Is Laird back? I think he was injured for the first couple of weeks, wasn't he?
Laird. I know, Laird is not on the injury list. They said he should be available on the AFL website. Sloan was the one that was subbed out last week. So, probably rating again, it's time to prove his fitness, but probably would get up because it's a showdown and it's Rory Sloan. I think Jordan Dawson and Brody Smith, they're just such dangerous ball users from halfback. Definitely got to clamp down on them and not give them any time and room. And definitely got to use the ball better going forward and give our forwards a chance, because it's torched the footy too many times against the Hawks with that many disposals, and being ahead in the disposal count should have really kicked a bigger score than 8 or 9 goals on the day.
Yep. And what would your changes be? Do you have any force changes?
Yeah, I think McKenzie might be forced with an ankle. So I'd probably drop him anyway, to be fair. Give Jake Bassini a chance. He's been on this for a couple of years, WA key back. I think Skinner gets another chance just with McKenzie out and Fleury still a few weeks away. I think Robbie Gray probably comes in for Stevie Motlop. He was out last week. Dixon, I think, is probably going to get a game in the sand, but I don't think you can rush him back off. Not much of a preseason and no AFL footy. I'd drop Marshall too. Finlayson, you probably can't drop as the second ruck. Making a big selection statement, drop Darcy Byrne-Jones and Connor Rosie. So I'd put Frederick in for Darcy Byrne-Jones and keep Jackson Mead in for Rosie, because Rosie's probably been lucky a few times. Like last year, he was down on form and he kept getting a game. So he's not impacting the footy and two-touch footy and not really putting his body on the line. Durzin's probably the lucky one too, because I think Sandful, we've only had trials so far. We haven't had any games, so it's a bit hard to push players in from the Sandful. But I think Dersman's on thin ice as well. So just shows how out of form we are when two of the top 10 draft picks and the best and fairest from 2 years ago are really down on form. Because Lear, Cleary, Fantasia, Bergman, and Farrell all a few weeks away, and I think they're all.
What about Yeah, so I think that's a good idea to make a statement. Sam Mitchell did that with Liam Shield, and seemed to work with the club. So and it puts the other players on notice as well. So that's the other sort of benefit, the positive about dropping sort of a big name player. Williams, he's a bit of a goal sneak. Do you reckon he's a chance to play?
He did well at AFL level, probably just not consistent enough and haven't. He's an option there. He's a bit like Robbie Gray, but I don't think you'd want Robbie Gray and him in the same team. Just at the moment, I think he's not the successor, but maybe the next guy in. But wouldn't mind him having a go as well, especially if a Rosie gets dropped and Motlop potentially too.
Mm-hmm.
But Leah, Fullery, Fantasia, Bergman, obviously Dixon are out still, and Farrell's probably on the fringes. So still a few names to come back, but they're all still a few weeks away. So gotta get things in the meantime.
And was it one of your first times looking at Josh Sinn, how he plays? Is he okay?
Didn't probably get much of a chance. So a bit too touch, and you can definitely see his speed every time he touches the ball, but probably didn't use the ball well by foot. But he had probably 20 guys with him in that category. So, if Darcy Burn-Jones does get dropped, then you'd like to see Sinn play more halfback and make that, because that's where he got drafted. That's why he got drafted. So.
Yeah. No, it'll be a good game. It'll be a danger game, because I think last time you guys played, the scores, I think Adelaide might have been even leading at three-quarter time or something like that. So I remember watching that. So a bit of a danger game, maybe even a 50-50, maybe. But because Adelaide, they're not that bad. I think if it clicks, they've got talent there to kick a winning score, and their defense can hold up, especially with your depleted forward line. So I don't know, actually. It'll be pretty even, but I'll probably lean towards Port just because you can't afford to start Zip and 3.
And your boys are travelling to the Gabba on Saturday night.
Yeah, like I've mentioned a couple of times already, it's going to be mission impossible almost. Brisbane, they're pretty good up there. They don't lose a lot of games. Lachie Neal's back to his best. Pretty much won the game, obviously, in boot against Essendon last week. So I think someone's got to play close to him, like tag him almost. Maybe I'm Kane Turner. Can get that job.
Yeah, I think definitely a tag would be good, because that's what cost the Bombers last week anyway.
Yeah, and he gets forward and kicks goals as well, so you got to watch him. Also, McGluggage kicked 3 and Cameron had 4 scoring shots anyway. Kicked 2 goals, so our defense is going to be under pressure. You'd think, Aiden Cole might go to Cameron, even though he's a bit taller. Sometimes the bigger body player might sort of help with that, with negating Cameron. Good to have Mackay back. He can go straight to Danaher. And I'd sort of keep Aiden Bonner in and play him on mixed A, even though he's a bit undersized. And Josh Walker would get the resting ruck, which could be 4. Against Essendon, Peter Wright got a hold of Andrews, so hopefully Larky can do the same. Larky's in some really good form. His leading patterns are pretty good. His body works good. He seems stronger and fitter, and his goal kicking is always pretty good. So he's equal leading the Coleman with a couple of other guys at the moment, so hopefully he can continue that. And Cam Zerha, I think he needs to hit the scoreboard. He had a couple of opportunities this against West Coast, and he's getting a bit of the ball, got 20 possessions. He hasn't kicked too many goals yet, I don't think. So Eddie Ford, he had a good game in the VFL. He kicked 5 and took 10 marks. So I expect him to come in, especially with the outs we have, and help sort of Larky and Zerha kick a winning score, because, we haven't kicked too many goals this year.
So what would be some of the other team changes that you would make? I know Stevenson got dropped last week. Do you think he comes in?
He had 24 touches on the weekend, I think ideally you'd want to give him another week. But just because we have Thomas and Davey Juniac out. We need a player just to give us that X factor in our outside class. So I think he has to come in. So he, Mackay, and maybe Kyron Hayden might come in, just a bigger body through the midfield. He was a laid out with Gastro against West Coast. But I think, yeah, Davey Juniac, Tarn Thomas, and Lockie Young might make way for those three. And Lazaro might be the sub. So, yeah, that's the setup I'd be going with. And I'd want Bailey Scott to do a play a defensive role on Rich. He had 24 kicks on the weekend, and he's pretty damaging when he gets the ball. So play defensively on him, and just fingers crossed that Jai Simpkin, Greenwood, Powell probably our starting midfield, and then Taylor Stevenson will run through there, as well as Horn Francis and Hayden. But it's pretty sort of pretty inexperienced and small bodied, I suppose, compared to like the hardened midfield of like Lyon and Zorko and these sort of guys. So it's going to be a tough task, I reckon.
Yeah, you've even got Rayner and Bailey spending more time there. So with the hard bodies, do you reckon Horn Francis and Cam Zaha spend more time on board, particularly this round?
Yeah, I think so they've got the strength and that frame to match it. Whereas someone like Powell and Lazaro, if he plays, Taylor Stevenson, they're not that strong. So maybe get that bigger body. So, yeah, you can see how much we're missing. So, yeah, Cunnington. But if we get the ball forward, put a bit of pressure on their defense and see if we can, yeah, get off to a good start. I think even a 30-point loss would be pretty big. But I expect the Lions to sort of kick on after halftime and maybe win about 50 points, maybe 10 goals. But that's a developing side. Yeah, as long as we see a little bit of improvement each week, I think that's all you could ask. It's a tough week as well. Tough month. I think we play the Bulldogs soon for Good Friday and Sydney next week, and then Melbourne in there, and then Carlton. So it's no easy game.
So we'll move on to the round three tips. So we'll tally this up going back to our round one results. So you're 6 and I'm 5, but we'll add in the round one results in next week. So the round starts off with the Bulldogs hosting the Swans Thursday night at Marvel.
Who did I tip? I think I tipped the Bulldogs to bounce back.
I've got the Swans. I think the Dogs are going to go zip in three. I think, the Swans are just about too deep in the midfield. And Heaney's probably just got overshadowed by Buddy, but he's nearly the most informed player in the comp at the moment as that goal scorer.
Yeah, it looks like he's finally broken out. On Friday, Melbourne and Essendon?
Yes, I've got Melbourne, so I think... Yeah, just too strong. And, yeah, Luke Jackson is just the talk of the league at the moment, nearly. And, yeah, hopefully he stays at the Ds and, makes a career over there and doesn't get pried away by the WA teams.
Yeah, apparently one of the WA teams made a big offer for Logan McDonald. So I suspect it's West Coast who've got a few players retiring. So they'll probably have a go at him, but, yeah, hopefully he stays. You'd think Melbourne would win. Zach Merritt's out for 2 months as well, so that's a big loss for the Bombers midfield.
And, yeah, the showdown, I think I said Collingwood and Geelong are playing Friday night. They're actually playing Saturday night. So the showdown, so I've got Port, as normal.
Oh, I don't know. It's toss of a coin this one, but I think I did say Port before, so I'll stick with them.
The Giants hosting the Suns on Saturday, the early match. I've got the Suns here. Giants really disappointing against the Tigers, and I think every time I seem to tip them, they seem to go down.
Yeah, you're right. I tipped them as well, but the Tigers got a hold of them, and they've been pretty disappointing, the Giants. And I'd have to agree. I think Suns have shown a lot more from the first two rounds, and the midfield's ticking along nicely with Anderson, Rowell, and Miller in there.
Collingwood versus the Cats at the MCG. I've got the Cats to bounce back. They generally don't put in two bad performances in a row. And same with Danger as well, who was held pretty quiet by Callum Mills.
Yeah, you'd have to be pretty courageous or a Pies supporter to tip the Pies, but they've been really good, the Pies. I think Henry's kicked a few nice goals, and they're playing attractive footy. But yeah, you'd think a bit of a reality check awaits them. So Geelong for me.
The Lions versus the Roos. I've got the Lions. I think they've lost maybe one or two home and away matches at the Gabba the last maybe two or three seasons, really. So they're pretty unbackable, unbackable at home.
Yeah, I mean, with Norths, a lot of their midfielders missing, I reckon it would be one of the biggest upsets in the last so 10 years if we win this. But yeah, Lions, and hopefully Bailey can play a bit better. I think I don't, has he been all right? I don't
Yeah, he's
know.
shown glimpses, I think, but he's you can yeah, he's definitely got more to give. I think the sooner he becomes that full-time mid, I think the better, because I think he's an absolute star. Carlton versus Hawthorn Sunday early match. I've got Carlton to give Hawks a bit of reality check. Cripps is probably the Brownlow favourite at the moment, and I think he'll continue. And Kurnow and looked really, special
Yeah,
that.
so they've got a couple of players. I think Jack Martin and Adam Chera comes back in. So the only way Carlton loses is if adding those two sort of disrupts the balance of their midfield. But hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully you see it work and they can continue their good form. And yeah, Carlton for me.
Saints versus Richmond. I've got Saints in probably a bit of an upset. Just don't think they have a match up for Max King, especially if Bolter's playing forward.
Yeah, interesting game. I think this is one of the closest games. Great win in the West as well. Max King at 3 goals, I think. And Josh Battle as well, like really solid in defense. It's a tough one. I'll probably trust Richmond a bit more with guys like Jaden Short playing really well. So I'll tip the Tigers.
And to close it around, we've got the WA Derby. I've got the Eagles. Just can't trust Freo. Every time I tip them, they go down. And the Eagles actually performed a lot better than I thought with the 14 out. So, Eagles for me.
Yeah, I think can't trust the Dockers. I think that's enough for me to tip them. So yeah, sort of I reckon they'll get up and bounce back because they're so hot and cold. They're still developing. I think Hayden Young, these sort of guys had a lot of the ball, so hopefully can keep developing. And Brayshaw is just becoming a well-rounded midfielder, isn't he?
Yeah, next captain, I think for sure. Once Fipe steps down, so we'll close the pod there, and we'll catch you guys next week. And hopefully, both of our teams have a win for once in the season.
Yeah, otherwise it's a linear. All right. And yeah, thanks for listening and we'll catch you soon.
See ya.